We're going to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Let's go with the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for this opportunity you've given every one of us and those who are going to listen to you, the opportunity to listen to your word, to know what your word says about what a righteous God is doing. So I pray, Father, that you'll empower me by your Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel and also open up the ears of the hearers that's going to listen to your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Today's sermon, the title is God's Anger Revealed Against Sin. God's anger revealed against sin. In your bulletins, we're going to go back and we're going to look at two things of God's anger revealed against sin. Why? Number one, we're going to see in the text, because of suppression of the truth. People suppress the truth. They do not want to do what God asks them to do. Go back. And let's look at verses 18 through 23 now. And let's read that once again. This is number one, suppression of the truth. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, in birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So as the text says, as it indicates here from a Nelson Study Bible, the truth is truth about God. Having departed from godliness and righteousness, people suppress the truth about God. That God is their loving creature, or creator, I should say, and deserves their worship and praise. People suppress that truth. You see, sinful people can mentally perceive and reveal the truth of God, but they have a choice, and their choice is that they suppress the truth. That's why they are without excuse. God's anger is being revealed today, and it will be in the future, against sin and against those who suppress the truth of God. You see, God showed it to all. Not only are His divine attributes clearly seen in humanity, human beings, but they can be seen in the material universe as well. Nature itself speaks of this Creator. From the design of the human cell to the majestic strength of the Rocky Mountains, all of God's works testify to His wisdom and His power. You see, God's invisible attributes, such as His eternal power and Godhead, meaning His divine nature, can be clearly seen by looking at and thinking about His creation that He created. Nature reveals God is a great and good God. Its gentle rain and its rich soils, as we know, provide food for us to eat and survive. You see, God is good. Even with all this evidence in creation, though, people still refuse to recognize Him as their Creator. They will not glorify Him for who He is. That's why, when people suppress the truth, God's anger is revealed against that sin. Let me read you something, once again, from a study of John MacArthur about the wrath of God. The idea of a wrathful God goes against the wishful thinking of fallen human nature. You know what? It could even be a stumbling block to many Christians. Many contemporary evangelism talks are only about the abundant life in Christ, the joy and blessings of salvation, the peace with God, that faith that Christ brings alone. All of those are benefits due to the result of that faith, but they are not the whole picture of God's plan of salvation. The corollary truth of God's judgment against sin and those who participate in it must be proclaimed, and it must be heard. For Paul, the Apostle Paul, who inspired by the Holy Spirit, penned Romans 1. We've seen that. We know that. And he said, God's wrath on unrighteousness. You see, Paul, the fear of eternal condemnation was the first motivation he offered for coming to Christ. The first pressure he applied to evil men. He was determined that they understand the reality of being under God's wrath before he offered them the way of escape. That approach, you think about it, if you look at the text of Scripture, is both logical and theological. It makes sense. A person cannot appreciate the wonder of God's grace until he knows about the perfect demands of God's law. And he cannot appreciate the fullness of God's love until he knows about the fierceness of God's anger against his sinful failure to perfectly obey the perfect law of God. You see, he cannot appreciate God's forgiveness until he knows about the consequences of sin, of the sins that require the penalty and the needness for forgiveness. The wrath refers to a settled, determined indignation, not to some emotional and often uncontrolled anger, which human beings often show. You see, God's attributes, church, are balanced in divine perfection. If He, God, had no righteous anger and wrath, He would not be God. Just as surely as He would not be God without His gracious love. He perfectly hates just as He perfectly loves. He perfectly, lovingly, and loves righteousness. And He perfectly hates evil. One of the greatest tragedies of modern Christianity is a failure to preach and teach the wrath of God and the condemnation that it brings upon all the unforgiven, those who do not have their sins forgiven. You see, this partial, sentimental gospel that is frequently presented today falls way short of the gospel that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preached when He walked the earth and that the apostles penned in the letter to the churches, the epistles, and in the gospels. You see, Scripture, God's Word, as we're going to see here in a moment, testifies of God's righteous wrath. Let's go back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 6, please. Let's look at God's righteous wrath on sin. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to use some illustrations. We don't go through them all, but there's a few that I want to list this morning. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. Verse 7. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. As we know from there, He told Noah to prepare an ark, that He was going to destroy the earth with a flood. And that's exactly what God did. Go over to chapter 11 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 11. Verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They have brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, Indeed, the people are one, and they have all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. You see, in verse 6, it says they had one language. And what they proposed to do will be held from them. The potential is that humankind will become as willfully sinful as they were before the flood. God says that's not going to happen. I will go down and confuse their languages. You see, variation in language, culture, values, and all the clans started at this point. Were it not for human arrogance, this division would not have been necessary. You know, one day peoples of all languages and cultures will unite to celebrate the grace of God's risen Son, lifting their voices together in the praise of the Lamb. You see, in the first part of Genesis, chapters 1 through 11, there are three great judgments on sinful humanity. The first, you might recall, is when God drove them out of the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, He drove them from the garden. The second was the flood. The great flood that destroyed the earth. And the third was the scattering of the people at Babel. Go over to Numbers chapter 12 with me, please. Numbers chapter 12. Verses 1 through 10. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has He not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all the men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, "Aaron and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meetings." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then He said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Now, so with my servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was a leper. You see, the order of the names Miriam and Aaron suggests that Miriam was the instigator. The instigator that went against Moses. And note also that the principal punishment falls on Miriam. You see, the singling out of Miriam suggests that she was the instigator that challenged the appointed one from God, which was Moses. You see, over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33, it says, "The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the just." Now let's go over to the New Testament. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. See, we're looking at God's anger revealed against sin. Because why? People suppress the truth. We're looking at God's righteous wrath, His righteous anger. I want to take you back to the Old Testament and show you that when people suppress the truth, that a sovereign God can and will show His anger against sin. John chapter 3, verse 36. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." See how important it is to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? To share the truth to our neighbors, our friends, our families about Jesus Christ and that salvation is in Him and Him alone? Because he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, the text says. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 22. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. "If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed." It says, "Lord, come." You see, let him be accursed. It may seem harsh that the Apostle Paul would wish God's damnation on those who do not love Jesus Christ. But the acceptance a rejection of Jesus Christ and salvation in Him and Him alone, that's serious business. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ are enemies of the Almighty God. Go to Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9. It says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches another gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." You see, if any, the apostles or even an angel from heaven were to preach a false gospel, Paul says, they were to be accursed. That being the case, anyone who proclaimed a perversion of the message that the Galatians had received from Paul fully deserved eternal destruction. You see, Paul's concern for the purity of the gospel message was very important to him. He revealed it by his assertion that he would condemn to destruction anyone who taught a false gospel. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. The text says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." And children of wrath is objects of God's condemning judgment. In Ephesians 5, 6, he says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Let's keep going here. Because we're looking at people who suppress the truth of God from Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 23, we talk about God's anger revealed against sin. It's because people suppress the truth. The truth of God, His Word, His salvation, His grace. Jesus says in Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 42, Jesus warns of offenses. He says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than to having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched." You see, it says here in the study Bible, Jesus uses hyperbole, exaggeration for an effect, okay? To state the seriousness of causing spiritual injury to others. You see, a millstone is an extremely heavy circular stone, about 3 to 4 feet across, about a foot thick. It was used to grind grain into mill. And it says over in Matthew 10:28, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So as you can see, back to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. "Because when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. They were not thankful, and they became empty in their thinking, and their hearts were darkened. They had the knowledge of God, but refused to acknowledge Him as God. They rejected God. They suppressed the truth about Almighty God and His creation, and His eternal power and Godhead. They were without excuse. They rejected God. turn their backs on the knowledge of Him. They suppress the truth. Now, let's see what happens. Verse 24. This is number 2. Verses 24 through 32 is the lust of the hearts. Therefore, why is therefore there? Because they suppress the truth, right? So therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves a penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice sin. You see, when Almighty God, when people suppress the truth of God and His Word and His ways, God turns people over to their sinful desires. When He does that, that is not a pretty picture. Then, when people continue to reject God, His Word, and His ways, well, it's exactly as God's Word says. Sin takes over, and people will suffer the consequences of their sin. When God lets people go, when God removes the restraints, when God gives these people, gives folks their so-called freedom, and they indulge in their sin, they will reap the results. Let's put this scripture up on a bulletin. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, and the following. You find it here. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. The text of the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The absolute truth of the law of the sower. Whatever you put in the ground is going to come back, and you're going to come back with more. You see, one writer says that God gives them up with a judicial judgment. With a judgment that is enforced, that is allowed, that is fair, that is impartial. Listen to what this writer wrote. The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded, and therefore self-enslaved. You see, God allows them to indulge in the desires of the flesh, thus giving them over to the consequences of their own sinfulness. You could even say that God allows those very freedoms, those desires that they so want, to become instruments of wrath. You see, Almighty God does not make you sin. He just abandons you. He steps out of the way and allows it. You might say He steps out of the way and He lets the steamroller of sin steamroll you if you want to walk in the ways of evil. Christians, He even does this to us. Go to the book of James. James chapter 1. Verses 13 and 15. 13 through 15, I should say. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Enticement. It says here in the study Bible, enticement to sin does not come from God. God will never deliberately lead a person to commit sin because that would go against His nature. But it would be opposed to His purpose of molding His creation into His holy image. Yet, God does sometimes place His people in adverse circumstances for the building of godly character. You see, sin does not force itself on us unwillingly, but it is chosen because of its attractions to us. Because when full grown suggests bringing a goal to completion, the idea here is that sin has reached its maturity and has possessed the very character of the individual. Death here refers to a physical death, not a spiritual death for the believer. Now, let me take you back to Romans chapter 1 and read you verses 24 through 25. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, as the text from the Word of God clearly states, there is a heart issue. The heart, which encompasses the thinking process, the will, the internal character, the mind, the will, and emotions. When God removes His hand from man, and man follows his heart, instead of allowing his heart to be governed by God, sin will abound. Shall I say any more? Look at the United States of America. You see, over in the Old Testament, in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14 says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that ye may be saved. How long shall your evil thoughts lodge within you? Chapter 17 of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man, and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes. They shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, which is not inhabited. That verse 7 says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Back to the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 through 9 talks about perilous times and perilous men. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 through 9. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. You see, when you suppress the truth of God, His Word and His ways, and you follow the lust of your hearts, why? Because they rejected God and believed the lie. Listen to what this one writer says about, what is a lie? The lie is that God is not God, that God doesn't have to be obeyed, does not have to be honored, does not have to be glorified. That is a lie that Satan, the enemy of your soul, has been pushing ever since the Garden of Eden on Adam and Eve. They believed the lie. The people also believed the lie that God is not God, that God in His Word is not to be praised and honored and glorified and obeyed. They believed the lie. They wanted to worship and serve themselves, not the true and living God. Saints, that is why the true gospel of Jesus Christ deals with the heart, the mind, the will, and emotions. There has to be a regeneration, a transformation, a supernatural renewing of the mind, will, and emotions by the Holy Spirit of God. That Spirit will bring us into the truth that will sanctify them, the Word of God is the truth. as Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth in John 17, the Bible. I want to read one last text to you before we conclude. Into the conclusion. Mark chapter 7, verses 18 through 23 says, Mark 7, 18 through 23. So he said to them, Jesus saying to his disciples, are you thus without understanding also? They was talking about and debating. The scribes and Pharisees came to them and was saying that they do not wash their hands. They do not keep the tradition of the elders. And Jesus says, defilement comes from within. Verse 19 says, or let's go to 18. Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him? Because verse 19 says, it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So God's anger revealed against sin. Because people suppress the truth and they follow the lust and desires of their heart. Let's conclude. I want to conclude with the text of Scripture of Romans 2, 1 through 16. And this is God's righteous judgment. Because it says, therefore, why is therefore there? We just read it. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man. Whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves. For you who judge, practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the richness of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life. To those, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, on the Jew first and also of the Greek, the glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as sin without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law, will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law by nature, do things of the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts, accusing or excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. See how important the gospel is? The gospel says, we know it. that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God sent His only begotten Son, perfect, incarnated, God-man, to die for our sins. Because why? Because God is holy and just. It is impossible for God Himself to be anything but impartial. His anger against sin is and will always be righteous and true. As we close this morning with God's little promises, which comes from Proverbs 28, verse 9 through 10 in your bulletins. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. But the blameless will inherit good. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, once again we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that inspired the Apostle Paul and these other writers to write your word. We know you're the author. But you use men to pen the words that you wanted them to write down for us to look at. We thank you for that. But we can't be brought into the truth of your word unless it's a supernatural work by a supernatural God. And that's what I ask this morning. That your Holy Spirit will go out and speak to those who are listening and bring them to the truth of the text of Scriptures that was presented this morning. To know that you are righteous, and because you are righteous, faithful, and true, that you have to judge sin. That our good works will not get us to heaven. As your Son said in John 14:6, that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. Bring people in the truth of that and grant them salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray for Christians that don't like to hear the wrath of God. I pray, Father, that you open their eyes to the truth of your Word. You can't go through your Word without seeing that you judge sin. Even in the life of Christians. And that you discipline your children. And if you're not disciplining them, as it says in Hebrews, you're illegitimate. You're not a son of God. We thank you for your word. It is a light to our path. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us to use it for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.